Don Juan. It's just about 7 o'clock at WRJN. Someone asked the internet, and this is good. Listen to this. What stats would you like to see after your death? These are the best responses. How many times I almost died without realizing it? How many times I made someone feel good about themselves without knowing it? The number of people who were attracted to me while I had no idea? And how many times my body successfully destroyed a cancer before it took hold? See, I want to know that now. I don't want to wait till after I die. But those are four interesting things that I think people would like to know, huh? All right, 7 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check news.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Losses are mounting, the flames spreading on this fourth day of massive wildfires burning out of control in Los Angeles.
Looks like, you know, World War II. I mean, World War III, you know, I mean, you look like an atomic bomb went off. It's absolutely devastating, unrecognizable.
Augie Silk's home in Pacific Palisades is one of 10,000 buildings swallowed up by fire. The death toll is up to at least 10. Among the victims, a 67-year-old amputee and his son, who had cerebral palsy. Many people are furious. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti asked Mayor Karen Bass,
what explains this lack of preparation and rapid response?
Let me just say, first and foremost, my number one focus, and I think the focus of all of us here with one voice, is that we have to protect lives, we have to save lives, and we have to save homes. We will absolutely do an evaluation to look at what worked, what didn't work.
President-elect Trump is expected to appear in court virtually in New York this morning after the Supreme Court denied his bid to avoid sentencing in his hush money case.
So I'll do my little thing. They can have fun with their political opponent.
CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Justice Merchan acknowledged that now that Trump has been elected president, it's just not viable to give him an incarceratory sentence. So he feels that the best option here is to give the unconditional discharge.
Lawyers for TikTok's Chinese-owned parent company will argue before the Supreme Court today to try to stop the platform from being banned in the U.S. this month. Correspondent Jan Crawford.
They've got a lot of work to do going in to try to persuade these justices to step in and block this law, which, of course, passed with bipartisan support in Congress.
A new law calls for ByteDance to be sold to a non-Chinese entity. Snow, ice, and freezing rain are pummeling the South. Business is brisk at the Piggly Wiggly Leonard Triplett manages in northern Mississippi.
Been rocking and rolling, that's all I can tell you. Milk, bread, and eggs has been our biggest seller.
Almost 3,000 flights in the U.S. have been canceled or delayed. Notre Dame is headed to college football's national championship game.
The kick is good!
Fighting Irish with a last-second field goal on ESPN to beat Penn State 27-24 in the semis at the Orange Bowl. Notre Dame plays the winner of tonight's Texas-Ohio State game on January 20th. S&P futures down 8. This is CBS News.
Nothing makes a gathering great like Eggland's Best eggs. They're just so delicious, with better nutrition, too. For us, it's eggs any style, as long as they're the best. Eggland's Best.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's not guilty for one of the men accused in a shootout during a funeral in Racine 3 years ago. A Racine jury has cleared Luis Granados III of all charges related to the 2022 Graceland Cemetery shooting, which took place during a funeral. The four-day trial featured testimony from Lamarion Blair, who faces similar charges and claimed Granados was present during the incident. The 18-year-old Granados had been charged with 14 counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. A routine tree trimming operation just across the state line led to a shock for a couple of workers. Two Waukegan Public Works employees suffered electric shocks from a power line incident yesterday. It happened when a crane boom touched overhead power lines, resulting in the electrocution of the workers. One victim was flown to a hospital, the other taken by ambulance. The status of the men isn't known. You can catch up with the congressman today. First District Congressman Brian Stiles starts the day in Janesville and Beloit with afternoon sessions around here. He's got stops today at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall and at the Kenosha County Center in Bristol. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
The Packers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. The forecast calls for mostly sunny skies and a high of 39. So what are the fans like at Lincoln Financial Field? I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney, who's played there several times when he was with the Giants.
It's a tough environment. It's loud. Obviously, the fans are like super rowdy. No, they got a good fan base. You know, they got fans that go hard for their team, and which they should. Yeah, it's a good environment for sure.
Basketball, the Badgers host Minnesota tonight. The Bucks are in Orlando against the Magic. Doc Rivers says when he brings in A.J. Green, it's not only for the three-point shot, but defense as well.
When we bring him in, we're bringing in another defensive player. We look at that, and I don't know if the other teams realize that. He is a terrific defensive player. He's competitive. He's tough, and he takes the right shot. So he's been fantastic for us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A little light snow this morning, then mostly cloudy, although I think we will see a little bit of sunshine by late this afternoon. Our high right around 30 today. Tonight, clear 16. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 29 with snow possible. Tomorrow night into Sunday, we could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in a few spots by the time it winds down. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
We torture ourselves. It's our brains. Only our brains, by the way. Only our brains. Other animals don't have this problem. Your dog doesn't have low self-esteem. Your dog doesn't call himself a piece of garbage even while he's eating out of the garbage. He doesn't sit on the couch afterwards and beat himself up.
What is wrong with me?
I told everyone on New Year's Eve, no more garbage. No, your dog eats the garbage, sits on the couch. Thank you. I see what you did for me. Thank you. I love you too. I ate it all. I even ate the bag.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. You know why? Because I'm a good boy. Yes, I am. I'm a good...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God, I threw it up. I'm so sorry. Are you going to clean that up? No. I'm going to eat that, too.
Let's say good morning to First District Alder.
Would you like Alderman or Alder?
It doesn't matter.
Then, okay, First District Alder. Jeff Coe is here with me today. And it's very hard to get you in here because you work till late hours, but we got you in here. I want you to move within a quarter mile of that microphone while we talk. Okay, good. And Alderman Coe is here because you heard it in the news yesterday. We talked about it. Red Apple School has a proposed name change. But I learned something this morning. It's not the Red Apple School that I go to vote at. They're moving there's a building already. They're just going to move the school into that building. They're
building it now.
They're going to build it from
scratch?
They're
building it now, yes.
Oh, and it's in your district now?
Yes.
And they want to call it Red Apples. They don't want to call it Red Apple School. They want to name it in honor of Laurel Clark, the astronaut. But you want to keep the name Red Apple School. Right. Yes. So you prepared a statement here you were going to read before the school board, I guess, and it was too long.
Yeah, right.
But here at WRJN, we don't have a hot clock on them. We're not going to hit the buzzer and get a hook to drag you out of here. So why don't you read what you were going to read to the school board?
All right. So it was going to be, good evening, members of the board. I stand before you today not just as the city alder, but as someone who has proudly championed Red Apple through the years. Our school's story is woven deeply into the very fabric of Racine's educational history and its story of successful transition and enduring identity. In 1974, when Red Apple first opened its doors as the optional elementary school, it marked the beginning of a bold new chapter in Racine's educational history. The school quickly established its unique identity. The transition from optional elementary to Red Apple wasn't just a simple name change. It was a statement about our school's mission and values. It declared that we weren't just an alternative. We were a destination of choice for families seeking excellence in education. Through the school's journey of growth and transitions, the Red Apple name has remained a constant, representing stability and continuity amid change. Today, as a choice school with no neighborhood boundaries, we draw families from across the district who specifically seek out our unique approach to STEM education and innovative teaching methods. I want to speak specifically about the power of a name during times of transition. Every student who has walked through Red Apple's doors has contributed to building our school pride and culture. When our alumni hear Red Apple, it triggers memories of their educational journey, their friendships, their achievements. It's a name they proudly share when asked where they went to school. It's a name that connects generations of students who, though may never have met, share a common bond through their Red Apple experience. Think about our current students who wear Red Apple spirit, wearing with pride, who has built their identity around being Red Apple students. These children have invested their hearts in the name. As we prepare for an exciting transition to a new K-8 facility at Center Street, our students need an anchor of stability, something familiar and meaningful to hold on to. The Red Apple name provides that bridge between our past and our future. When we open our doors at our new location in 2026, our identity should remain intact. Our new building will be filled with the same spirit, the same excellence in education, and the same proud tradition that the name Red Apple represents. This continuity of identity doesn't just preserve history, it maintains a living connection between every student who has ever been a part of our community and every student who will join us in the future. A name carries the weight of legacy. It holds the stories of every student who struggled and succeeded, every teacher who inspired, every parent who volunteered, every achievement celebrated. Under the banner, while I deeply respect Dr. Laurel Clark's remarkable achievements and her tragic sacrifice, I believe we must consider what we would lose by changing a name that carries 50 years of educational innovation and community trust. As we prepare for this exciting new chapter in our school's history, maintaining the Red Apple name provides crucial continuity for our educational mission. This name isn't just about our past. It's about the trust we built with families who chose us for their children's education, the dedication of countless teachers who've contributed to our legacy, and the promise we make to future generations. I urge the board to preserve the name that has meant so much to so many. Red Apple isn't just what we're called, it's who we are. It's a name that has earned its place in our community's heart through decades of innovation, adaptation, and excellence in education.
That's the full statement you wanted to read.
Yeah.
Well, there you read it, and I'm sure a lot of people heard it. Okay, so let's do a review of this just to make sure everybody has this. The current Red Apple School that is there on St. Patrick will be no more.
No.
Are they going to tear it down or reuse it? You don't know?
And I don't know. It's the city is going to end up with the building.
Okay,
after,
so that's going to be gone. What year are they talking about?
Well, it was supposed to be the fall of 2026.
Okay, so it's about a year or so from now.
But it's probably going to be now. No, excuse me, the fall of, I believe, 25, but it's because of the delays. It's not going to, they're talking about like over after the Christmas break in 2026.
Okay, and the new school is going to be built from scratch. What's on that location right now?
They're building it now. They tore down Walden.
Okay, so that was where Walden School was. So that's flattened, and they're building it now. So this is just about name change. This isn't about anything to do with the physical structure at all.
No.
Okay, but it's going to be in your district. Now, they want to name it after Dr. Laurel Clark, the astronaut, who was from this area and perished in one of the horrible tragedies with the space shuttle. So from the Journal Times, we got some of this information. According to 1,050 survey respondents from Red Apple, students, staff, parents, alumni, former staff, and community members, 74% want a name change, and 26% do not. Of the 152 respondents from former Red Apple students and staff, 54% are not in favor of a name change, 46% are. So it's kind of evenly split there. You want to keep it because you went to Red Apple, you said?
No, I had siblings.
Siblings there. You had a big family.
Yes.
12 brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Whoa.
And go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, so when Walden, where Walden was, where the new Red Apple is going,
yeah.
Red Apple moved into the back of the building. So they shared school space. And the kids from Walden who had helped tutor the children from Red Apple, and I had siblings that went there throughout, they spent their whole school career in one building.
We're talking to First District Alder Jeff Coe. We're talking about the proposed name change to the new Red Apple School, which is being built. Was it on Center Street, you said?
Yes.
On Center Street. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment. Keep it right here, WRJN, local news, timeless hits. But right now, here's Pete.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. One of the celebrities forced to evacuate their home was actress Jamie Lee Curtis. The Associated Press reports that the last showgirl actress has pledged $1 million to start a fund to help those in Southern California affected by the fires. Celebrities who have actually lost their homes include Mandy Moore and Billy Crystal. The historic Will Rogers home in Will Rogers State Park have also been lost. Nikki Glaser says she was paid handsomely to host the Golden Globes last weekend, but she also told Howard Stern that she was paid less than her male counterparts who had previously hosted. 2023 host Jared Carmichael said in his monologue that he received $500,000. Glaser said she would have hosted for free to prove herself and is hoping to make more next time. Nikki Glaser was the first woman to host the Golden Globes solo. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hospice Alliance volunteers are often asked if it's difficult to support patients and families during life's most difficult time. They emphatically share that they are grateful to help their community and feel they receive more in return than they could ever give. Serving patients and families in Racine, Kenosha, Southern Milwaukee, and Eastern Walworth counties. If you'd like to learn more about Hospice Alliance's services or assisting in our mission, visit hospicealliance.org.
At Just Brew It, every cup tells a story to warm your heart. Nestled in Union Grove, it's your winter haven for heavenly beverages. From handcrafted coffees and soul-soothing boba teas, each sip is a tale of a flavor and community, carefully curated to fuel your day. Whether you're dashing through the snow or seeking a serene retreat by the fire, Just Brew It creates the perfect winter ambiance for you. Savor the warmth in every sip at Just Brew It, right on Main Street in downtown Union Grove. Open at 6 a.m. on weekdays and 7 a.m. on weekends.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Badgers.
Fades Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fades.
Fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
WRJN's renewed commitment to Racine not only includes local news and timeless hits, but the people of WRJN who work every day to make a positive difference in our community. Don Rosen features folks who do exactly that, weekday mornings between 6 and 9, from local history, entertainment, and politics. Don keeps you in touch with the people who shape our city. WRJN.
And one of those people right now is my guest, First District Alder Jeff Coe is here. We're talking about the proposed name change to the new Red Apple, which is going to be on Center Street. They're building it now. I have to drive by there and see what's going on. And the proposed, one of the names they brought up was Dr. Laura Clark, who was tragically lost in one of the the space shuttle explosions. She's from the area. Now, there was another proposal. Instead of the name change of the school for Dr. Clark, it would be one of the science labs. And you thought that would be more appropriate because she was
a scientist.
So that's one of the possibilities, too. So how is this going to end? You're against the name change. You want to keep it Red Apple, the new building. How's this all going to change? And, you know, what's going to be the end game on this whole thing?
I don't know. If this goes away, I think we lose the history of the school.
Well, who's making the final decision?
School board.
And do you know how that leans right now?
Yeah, we had a meeting the other night, and it was wavering right now. So, I mean, some people were kind of totally for it, but I felt a little wavering going on. So I don't know. We have another meeting Monday night. I go to work early on these days, and I leave work, over there, and then go back to work when I'm finished.
So other than Dr. Clark's name, have there been any other names bandied about, or just her name?
Just her name on this one. You know, years ago when they were Julian Thomas's, I was against it. It was Garfield School.
Yeah.
And I was against the name change then, but the difference is Garfield was closed down for quite a few years before they rebuilt the new part and added on to it. So I understood it.
Where I grew up, I was telling you off the air, where I grew up, all the schools had the name PS before. There was PS-142, PS-56, they all... Now, I don't think there are any more PS schools where I grew up. I think they're all, they assign names to them. Right. But I remember growing up at PS this, PS that. You didn't think much of it, but how, you know, where do you go? PS 42. You don't have a school name, but now they mostly do. How long has been Red Apple School?
It's always been Red Apple
School. Are we talking 50 years more?
I think they started in another building. I'm not sure, but in 1974, they moved in with Walden on Center Street. So they're going back to where they basically started, back to their roots.
So, of course, Red Apple is what you always brought the teacher each morning. You brought her a Red Apple or a Red Apple. Now, what grades are in Red Apple School now where it stands on St. Patrick?
They just added, it was K through 5.
Right.
And they added a 6th grade this year so the kids could feed into the new school. And because of the delays, they're going to add a 7th grade next year so that these kids can transition into the new building.
Whoa. Okay, so, the new building's going to be K through 7th? K through 8?
Yes.
Well, so you got grammar school and middle school in the same school.
And most of our schools are like that now.
Okay.
Starbuck has done it. Everybody's going to these. Gifford. Same thing, they put an addition on, and they went from K through 8 when they redid that.
Starbucks just got a brand new parking lot that goes on forever.
Yeah.
I know, because it's right at the end of our street here, right at the end of Victory Avenue. You wanted to get something in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, basically my family had a 50-year history with Red Apple. My mom worked there when they first opened at the Walden site. I grew up with 12 brothers and sisters, and quite a few of them went to Red Apple. And then Walden, they spent their whole school career in that building. You know, right now, Unified is going through tough financial times. They want to have a referendum on operations. I mean, they should create an ad hoc committee or something on how they rename buildings. There's money that could be made out of renaming schools. You know, that's just like Lockwood Park didn't used to be Lockwood Park. It was Graceland Park. The Lockwood family put a bunch of money in.
Well, it's like stadiums.
Yes, just like they did with
County Stadium.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and it was, it's, to me, it's still Miller Park, but now it's...
To a lot of people, it's still County Stadium.
Right, so, you know, but I'm saying, but you know, we renamed a park, but they put in some financial...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they use that money for whatever you...
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, that's what we need to... I don't think there was enough put into this. I think a member or two of the board just wanted the name change. I mean, maybe a lot of people don't know this, but we have the splash pad down at Lake that's named after
Laurel Clark. Yeah.
So it's just like, we're not forgetting her, and I'm not against her at all or nothing like that, but this is
Well, you
history.
Said you can name the science lab after her, you know.
Yeah. I mean, but this is our legacy. I mean, and the new, you know, the kids, it's just, I'm Red Apple. I'm sorry. I got two granddaughters that go there, and I bleed Red Apple.
And this is your district now.
Yeah.
It's not now. It will be your district. But
I spend a lot of time. I stop at the school with donuts periodically for the kids and stuff.
Okay, and if somebody wants to voice their opinion on this, now they're hearing it for the first time maybe, how do they voice their opinion?
I'll call Unified. You can ask for the school board members. I think Scott Coley was leading the charge on this. I mean, try to get a hold of Scott Coley.
He's leading the charge to keep the name or change the name. So,
I mean, this is something. I mean, this just is really important to me and stuff.
It sounds like it.
No, it's not a new building. I mean, it's not a new school. It's a new building. You know, Knapp built the new building and Olympia Brown. Did we change the names? No. But one of the reasons people tell me, well, Red Apple, it is not a name, but it is a name. It's woven into our history here. All the people I know that went there, I mean, I have younger grandkids that are graduated school now. They went to school there. This has been a part of me.
Well, you sound very passionate about it.
I get very emotional.
I know. I can see it.
To this.
I can see you're emotional about it. And so that's the story. And we'll stay on top of it and see. And you give me a call when you hear of a decision coming up.
Right.
And come back here and we'll talk about it either way.
We have another meeting Monday night. Okay. And I believe it starts at 5.
Yeah, when's it got to be? When's the end date on this?
I don't think they really need to.
Well, they got
to
put a name on the building when it opens.
Right, but I don't think they need to rush this because we're a year out, but they're having a meeting. They think they want to rush this faster rather than later. And I think this is too important of an issue.
Okay.
So next Monday, if people want to come to the school board meeting, you got to get there at 4:45. You can sign to speak if you like. And
keep it 2 minutes.
Yep, that's what it was.
Keep it
and
two.
So, I mean, the Monday meeting is at the a committee for the renaming of the school and stuff. There's like six members or something like that.
Well, thank you. Alderman Jeff Coe from the 1st District in Racine. You heard the issue? Think about it. And then if you have an opinion on it, you can contact the school board. Thank you, Alderman Jeff. I'll call you Jeff because I know you for many years. Thank you, Jeff. All right, coming up, we've got Paul Harvey.
Now, the rest of the story. Thomas Van Beck is 53. He lives in Amsterdam, his native Netherlands. He's a respected businessman. In 1961, Tom was a 25-year-old executive, a young fellow still testing his wings in the business world. He was in need of a private secretary. After a long, discouraging procession of unpromising applicants, a bright, charming young lady came to Tom's office. Her name was Miss Neff. Her references were impressive. Her typing and shorthand were more than adequate. And beyond her obvious secretarial talent was the aura of personal stability that Tom had been looking for. Miss Neff was hired on the spot. After her first week on the job, Tom was certain that he had found the one and only solid gold Girl Friday, an executive's dream. When she answered the phone, she projected polite authority. The quality of her voice alone let the caller know that he was in touch with an efficient operation. When in the course of business, Miss Neff was faced with those myriad minor emergencies, she was always calm. Her solution to each problem was quick, direct. Miss Neff was tireless. At the end of a long day, when even her young employer was completely exhausted, Miss Neff was fresh, energetic, apparently as prepared to cope with her responsibilities as she had been before her traditionally brief lunch break. The weeks became months, and the months became years. During the seasons of heavy business, Miss Neff did the work of two. She was a one-woman miracle, a credit to her employer, a major contributor to his subsequent professional success. But then came 1973, and that was a day that Tom had secretly dreaded for at least a dozen years. It was not another job offer, Miss Neff assured Tom. It was not a matter of money. She'd been quite happy in her career, but now she simply wished to devote her time to her family, and she would have to retire as Tom's private secretary. Well, businessman Thomas Van Beck would miss his secretary of 12 years, but it was not his decision. He would accept Miss Neff's retirement as gracefully as possible. And as he thought over the splendid job that she had done during those past 12 years, really more than anyone could have asked from any one person, Tom was determined that his remarkable Miss Neff should have an appropriately generous retirement party. It was on this occasion, that celebration, that Tom learned the rest of the story. For shortly after the guest of honor had arrived, the guest of honor arrived. After the guest of honor had arrived, the guest of honor arrived. And then the mystery of Miss Neff's boundless energy was not a mystery anymore. For 12 years, Tom was certain his one secretary was doing the work of two. Instead, two secretaries had been doing the work of one. And so efficiently, so effectively for 12 years that Tom never, ever suspected two sisters sharing the same job, each working half-time, splitting the paycheck, identical twins. And now you know the rest of the story.
And for another different rest of the story coming up today, 12:05 with Dan Marcus. So it's at 7:25 and 12:05, Monday through Friday, to learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular radio shows ever to air on WRJN. Call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It's 7:31. Let's check news in the morning, see what's going on. And here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. It's not guilty for one of the men accused in a shootout during a funeral in Racine 3 years ago. A Racine jury has cleared Luis Granados III of all charges related to the 2022 Graceland Cemetery shooting, which took place during a funeral. The four-day trial featured testimony from LaMarion Blair, who faces similar charges and claimed Granados was present during the incident. The 18-year-old Granados had been charged with 14 counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. A routine tree-trimming operation just across the state line led to a shock for a couple of workers. Two Waukegan Public Works employees suffered electric shocks from a power line incident yesterday. It happened when a crane boom touched overhead power lines, resulting in the electrocution of the workers. One victim was flown to a hospital, the other taken by ambulance. The status of the men isn't known. You can catch up with the congressman today. First District Congressman Brian Stiles starts the day in Janesville and Beloit with afternoon sessions around here. He's got stops today at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall and at the Kenosha County Center in Bristol. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
It may not be much to look at across the state of Wisconsin these days, but getting chores done without the snow, a lot easier. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I think we'd all like to see maybe a little snow across the state to protect our hay and winter wheat. But in New York State, they're glad it's done. Bryce Windecker is a dairy farmer himself, also a broker analyst with Everag. I talked to him yesterday, and he said his particular area picked up a lot of lake effect snow.
Yeah, we've gotten a plethora of lake effect snow, a very thin band, only spanning about 1 hour north to south. But the people that got a lot of it. We were on the southern end of it and got about 2.5 feet. And then you go north and just west of me, they got 74 inches in 3 days last weekend.
74 inches, folks, that's just a little over 6 feet of snow in some areas of upstate New York over the course of a weekend. Bryce Windecker sharing the story. He's a dairy farmer himself and also a dairy analyst with Everag. He said that milk did continue to move. It didn't turn into a transportation issue for them, but he said there were some roofs that collapsed on dairy barns as well as sheds that they did have to deal with. The markets we're dealing with on a finally Friday morning, generally positive. Numbers are next.
Did you know you can build a water and nutrient superhighway in your soil? You just need the Maximum Acre solution from Sound Agriculture. The easiest way to maximize your crop's access to nutrients all season long.
How does it work? First, Source turns your soil into a nutrient factory, activating microbes that supply nitrogen, phosphorus, and micronutrients. Then Blueprint builds the delivery network. It provides a beneficial fungi called AMF, a powerful biological partner that plants rely on for macronutrients, micronutrients, and water. When used with Source, Blueprint expands the crop's reach beyond the roots, helping it access nutrients and water when they're needed most. For the maximum acre solution that leads to bigger, healthier, and more productive plants, Source it with Blueprint. Talk to your dealer or visit sound.ag.
In the early morning hours of a Friday, right now, March corn's up a penny at 4.57. December new crop unchanged at 4.47. March soybeans are up a nickel at 10.04. November new crop up to 10.16. March wheat, penny stronger at 5.35. July new crop up a penny at 5.56. Barrel cheese as well as AA butter was unchanged yesterday. 40-pound block cheese dropped a penny and three quarters to 1.89 and three quarters. That's just a quick snapshot on the markets. I'm PM Yankee.
A little light snow this morning, then mostly cloudy, although I think we will see a little bit of sunshine by late this afternoon. Our high right around 30 today. Tonight, clear 16. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 29 with snow possible tomorrow night. Into Sunday, we could end up with an inch, maybe a little more in a few spots by the time it winds down. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
People go, you're on TV or movies. Is it easy to act? Yes. I mean, yes. It's not hard. I mean, obviously people can do it. It's not like other things. This might be the easiest. Because you always hear about people doing it and doing well. I mean, the Oscars. This is the hardest thing you can do in acting. The best of the best award of all actors, right? Yes. Gabrielle Sibide. We know who she is. She was in Precious. Never done a movie. Up for an Oscar. Last year, Beast of the Southern Wild. Five-year-old girl. First movie. Up for an Oscar. Jennifer Hudson. American Idol. Gets eighth place. On American Idol. She can't win in the field she has trained her whole life for. Singing. Waltzes over to acting. Wins an Oscar her first try. It's like me, hey, I want to play the NBA. Oh, you can't do that. That doesn't look that hard. I'm the MVP the first year. You're better than LeBron? I guess. They just put it in the hoop. It didn't seem hard, yeah.
A lot of truth in what David Spade just said. Wouldn't you think so, Brett? I mean, there are so many people that start off in acting and their first shot out, they're up for an Academy Award. So maybe how difficult can it be? I mean, if you could do that. Look at, they made Space Jam with, what's his name? I'm blacking out.
Michael Jordan starred in one and LeBron James starred in the other.
Yeah, so. And they just waltzed right in a hit movie. They never acted before in their lives, and they walk in, bing, a blockbuster. I mean, so maybe it's not that difficult to act in a movie. All right, before we start in with all our stuff, they were announced this morning, they're debating whether or not to get rid of the Academy Awards ceremony this year. Now, they did say the nominations are going to come, it's getting two more extra days because they want to allow some extra voting time. So it's delayed by 2 days. So now they're talking maybe they will just do away with the pomp and circumstance of the whole Academy Awards in deference to what's going on now with 180,000 people displaced and all those homes burned down. Even big movie stars had their homes burned down to the ground. They were talking to Billy Crystal yesterday. Home gone. James Woods, home gone. Paris Hilton, home gone. Didn't matter if you were rich or poor, your home, if it was in the line of the fire, it got destroyed. So that's what they're talking about. We'll figure it out. I think the Academy Awards is in April, around there?
The Academy Awards is in early March.
March, just like I said, March. Okay, good. All right, so we do have some new movies opening up this weekend, and let's talk about the new releases out there. We have a couple of them here, including one with Pamela Anderson, which is getting some real notices lately, especially for her. Why don't we talk about that one first?
That's right. And all three of the movies we're going to talk about are getting great reviews, and some basically are under the radar. So let's talk about them. The first one is The Last Showgirl. It's rated R. Pamela Anderson stars at the showgirl And she's preparing for her life after a 30-year run in Las Vegas. And for her, it's the final curtain call because the show she's on has not been popular anymore. It's closing. And we take us through this journey with Pam about this aging star and what she's going through and must do as this phase of her life comes to an end. As you mentioned, it is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. It is written by a woman by Kate Gersten. She wrote scripts for Mozart in the Jungle, which was very famous on Amazon Prime, that television series. It's well-written. It's well-done. Pam is great in it. And the movie delivers in an hour and 29 minutes. It is packed in. It is a drama. And it delivers in an hour and 29 minutes, which I wish more movies would do, because some of these movies drag on and on and on. This is one that delivers the emotion to you in an hour and 29 minutes. It's very efficient and excellent to watch on the big screen.
Okay, next up, what do we have?
The next one is Better Man, also rated R. This is a biographical musical film. It's about the pop star Robbie Williams. And Williams, though, isn't portrayed as himself. He is portrayed as a chimpanzee with the help of CGI. So the film director, whose name is Michael Gracie, did many hours of interviews with Williams himself. And during the interviews, he said the pop star at one time told him that he felt like he was just a monkey sent out to entertain the masses. And he picked up on that.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Made that how he made this film. So you see Robbie Williams go through his entire career, but as this anamorphic chimpanzee because of that comment. So this is one, 88% critic score, which is certified fresh and Rotten Tomatoes, 95% audience score on this one. It was our mystery movie this past Monday. We have our Monday mystery movie about once or twice a month. For $5, you can see a mystery movie. You don't know what it is. Everybody loved this movie. Everyone that screened this movie, Better Man, loves it. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be in the top five this weekend because it's just catching on. And that might be because Robbie Williams was not as famous here in the U.S. as he was worldwide. This is a person that was in originally a pop group called Take That in the early 1990s, but he has sold over 70 million records worldwide. And that right now, we'll have to look and see if the math is right, but I did read that's the most of any British singer, not any British band, but any British singer. So you look at this guy, he's done over 70 million records worldwide. This is a biographical movie of his life called Better Man. It's getting rave reviews. If you have a chance to go see it, check it out. It won't be tops at the box office, but it is a special movie that is getting rave reviews, and you won't be disappointed.
Now, you mentioned the mystery movie. Back when I was a kid, they used to have sneak previews, and you wouldn't know what the movie was. You took a shot at it and whatever it was. I remember one weekend, there was a sneak preview, and they didn't tell anybody, and the movie was Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand. So these people went in for a discounted price, saw the sneak preview, and they came out and they saw Funny Girl for the first time. So you never know what you're going to see. You know, it's a crapshoot. Maybe you see an Academy Award winner. Maybe you see one that's not. All right, what's our third movie?
Our third movie is Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. This is it's rated R. It's the direct sequel to the 2018 film Den of Thieves. It stars Gerald Butler, Osei Jackson, and Meadow Williams. It takes place immediately following the events of the original movie Den of Thieves. And Sheriff Nick O'Brien, who's played by Butler, is tracking down Donnie Wilson, played by Osei Jackson Jr. He has escaped to Europe, but he's planning another heist, and this one is a diamond heist. It is a great back-and-forth cat-and-mouse and action movie, and much like the first one, this is being well-received by critics and audiences. It's entertaining. Den of Thieves 2 will likely be the number one movie at the box office this weekend. However, it will have competition, so it's probably a toss-up between Den of Thieves 2, Mufasa the Lion King, and Sonic. So we'll have to see which one turns out on top.
You know, I told you when Sonic the Hedgehog came out, third one, I said, I just don't get it. But it's making hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm missing some. Maybe because I'm not, you know, a kid. Maybe because I'm not their target audience. But even, remember the Super Mario Brothers film? I said, that's going to be a flop. It was one of the biggest movies ever. So what do I know? Let's talk about Gerard Butler for a moment here. because he's had a pretty good career.
He certainly has. You know, when people think about action movie stars, he often doesn't come up. But when you look at his movies, they were all very entertaining. So, I mean, you look at he's the voice in some of the How to Train Your Dragon movies, and those have done very well. He starred in the movie 300 and its sequel, which were excellent movies. And he's been in the Has Fallen series, in which he plays fictional U.S. Secret Service agent Mike Banning. And this was Olympus Has Fallen, London Has Fallen, and Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah, I saw all three, yeah. They're very good movies, by the way. Yeah.
Every 3 years, 2013, 2016, 2019, those came out. Very good and entertaining. And you look at one of my favorite movies from 2023 that was under the radar, his role in Plane was excellent.
Yes, I saw it. That was around right after COVID that came out. And I thought it was an excellent movie. Excellent. I forgot Gerard Butler was in that film, Plane.
Yeah, it's about a plane that gets struck by lightning. They have to land this commercial aircraft in this hostile island that just has been basically...
It's run by drug lords. Yeah, that's a drug lord.
Exactly, exactly. And he has to guide the crew out of there and get them out. It is an excellent movie, Plane, if you ever have a chance to see it. But I brought that up. He's starring in Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. It's an excellent film. It's an entertaining film. And I think that's what you'll see with Gerard Butler. He does these excellent quality films. They may not make $300, $400, $500 million at the box office, but they tend to always be entertaining and fun to watch.
Hey, coming up on the other side of the break here, we're going to talk about the Golden Globes. They just had the ceremony the other day. And we're going to talk about movies that just turned 50 years old this year. If you don't feel old, you will after you hear this list. That's coming up. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theater is my guest. Keep it here on WRJN Local News Timeless Hits.
Bowden Hills Apartment in Racine has an incredibly rare opening of a one-bedroom apartment with a special extended 15-month lease. Bowden Hills in Mount Pleasant was named number one for senior living by senioradvisor.com. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Bowden Hills' top priority is safety with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. Grab this rare one-bedroom apartment today at fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
Lee's Deli is your go-to for fresh signature subs and chef salads in Racine. Find them at Twins Food Mart on 16th and Packard, Elite Mini Market on Washington Avenue, and Taylor Mart on 1813 Taylor Avenue. Hosting a party? Convenient pickup and catering from our Washington Avenue shop make game day party trays a hit, even with a few hours' notice. Kickstart your healthy new year with your favorite sub in a gluten-free wrap or in a bowl to suit any dietary need. Lee's Deli, proudly serving Racine in 2025, one meal at a time.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. 2025 has arrived. It's never too late to start your fitness journey at Blue River CrossFit. Commit to a happier, healthier you this year with their 55-plus longevity class. The Blue River team guides you through custom-tailored workouts that boost strength, energy, and vitality, all in a positive and supportive environment. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals banner, and purchase a $200 on-ramp program certificate for just $100 to get started. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test, fix, save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
W-R-J-N. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters is here. We're doing a lot of talking on the break. Let's talk about the, before we get to my stuff, let's talk about the Golden Globe Awards. You pick some of the winners here, but I've never heard of any of these movies before because they're not theatrical movies. They were made for Netflix or, you know, whatever, Max or whatever. And so I never heard because I don't have those. I go to my movie theater to watch a movie. So let's talk about the winners here. And I want to run through some of the list here because you picked them. You picked some of the winners.
Yeah. Well, for the most part, though, these are theatrical movies. And let's talk about that. So you had The Brutalist winning the best motion picture drama. This is the 3.5-hour movie. It was made for the big screen, and this is the one with the intermission in it. It's just that it hasn't been released wide yet. You'll start to see The Brutalist coming out wide next weekend and the weekend after. It will go wide on the 24th of January. Plan your time around that one. It is a great movie and just a great idea. So
yeah, bring your pajamas, your blankets, your pillows, and everything else.
Yeah, right.
Now,
it won Best Drama, and Adrian Brody won Best Actor.
What's it about? What's it about?
It's basically a movie about someone that came over from Europe, and he's an architect. And this is about brutalist architecture and how it sweeps in, basically.
Okay.
He's an architect. It shows basically how architecture changed in the United States. But there's a lot more things going on with it. It is a wonderful drama. And like I said, it's 3.5 hours long, but they have an intermission. And it's just really a neat way that they've had this all together. And Brody's fantastic in it, in the movie. Now, some other winners that I thought really gained some steam. The Substance was the true winner because Demi Moore won Best Actress for a movie, The Substance. And again, here's the case of a movie. It was a horror film. It was a horror thriller. It was in movies for a tiny bit of time, but just didn't do great business. We talked about movies that are out this weekend that just didn't do great business and didn't last that long in the theaters. Demi Moore was excellent in this film, and I think she'll get a nomination for Oscar as well. The Substance is kind of a dark horse to get nominated as well for Best Picture.
Well, she also said when she accepted the award, she had never, ever won an award in her life. This is the first one.
Yeah, it was really neat. When you think about her body of work, I mean she's been in a lot of movies, all of them entertaining, all of them we enjoy. You take her roles. She's been roles of movies that have won awards, like A Few Good Men and other movies like that.
Oh, she was great in that film with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. She was great. She held her own amongst two heavyweights. You don't get heavier than Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, and she really held her weight in that. That was good. That was a good movie. Now, Conclave, now you're right. This was a theatrical film, but it didn't hang around long at all.
No, it did not. And again, when this one comes back, we are going to do our Best Picture series again this year, and we're going to bring all the movies that are nominated for Best Picture back. This is one to see. It is a PG movie. It's a PG thriller. You don't see that often. It stars Ralph Fiennes. It also stars Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow, and it won Best Screenplay, and it's amazing. And it's about Ralph Fiennes. He's been chosen to oversee the selection of a new pope. And as they get into the story, they find out there's a lot more to meets the eye that's going on. But Conclave was excellent. A PG-13 thriller, you don't see that, but so good. And I recommend people to watch that one as well.
Yeah, you know, I forgot that, you know, some of these were in theaters, but some of them were not. And a lot of times you do is you don't know any of these films. And after January and February, they start coming into theaters right after they get their Academy Award nomination or win. You're still picking The Brutalist to be a big winner.
I'm still picking the Brutalist. I mean, the film you're mentioning was Emilia Perez. It's a Netflix movie.
That's the one.
And here's the deal. I'm not going to tell anyone not to go see the movie because in its own right, it's a good film to watch. But I will say that it had a qualifying run in theaters. It did not have a mainstream theatrical run. And movies, to me, were made to be seen on the big screen. And that's where we like to keep them. So we'll see what goes on when the actual nominations come up for the Oscars.
You know me, I'm a purist. And they got to go. I told you, my superpower is I know every movie I've ever seen in every single theater that I've seen it in. Somebody posted an article from 1969 on Facebook about an airplane crash in a drive-in theater, which was right down the block from my house. And I said to my brother, do you remember a plane crash at the Johnny Allweather drive-in? He goes, no. Here's the article, 1969. There was a plane crash in the drive-in. How did I not know that? I lived a couple of miles away from it. How did they forget that? All right, let's put some age on you right here. These movies all turn 50 years old this year. Jaws is 50 years old. Funny Lady, the rock opera Tommy, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Nashville, Rollerball, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, one of my faves, Dog Day Afternoon, Attica, remember that? 3 Days of the Condor, the Sunshine Boys, and here's a classic. This won the five major Oscars. Only one other movie had ever done it before. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The only one that ever did it was that Clark Gable movie. The one where it happened one night. They won all five major awards, actor, actress, director, picture, and writing. They won all five. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. All 50 years old. Whoa. When I saw Jaws, I saw it opening day at the Wontaw Theater where I grew up. And we got online at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, hoping to get in by, you know, the 6 o'clock show. We didn't get in until the 10 o'clock show. And yeah, I was a young guy there, so I could stand online and don't complain about it. But that's how crowded it was to see Jaws on opening night. Here's something else I had. Oh, Dad, go ahead. You can say something?
Well, when you look back at 1975, you look at all those star-studded movies between Dog Day Afternoon, Jaws, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Nashville, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and you named a few more. I actually need to dive back into that year, 1975, because that may be one of the greatest cinema years on record based on what you've read.
So there's more to the list I didn't put in there.
Yeah.
I just kept it to a minimum. One of the greatest year, they always say, was 1939, because that's the year you had so many big films, The Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind. I think The Women came out that year. A whole bunch of big movies came out. I always found it amazing that the director of Gone with the Wind was the same director of The Wizard of Oz in the same year, Victor Fleming. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you're lucky to get one of those movies in your lifetime. This guy had two of them in the same year. Wow.
Two of the most epic ones. You look at now how long it takes to film movies. Then you look at how long Gone with the Wind was and how epic that had to be. There were no computers to do that. That was all people and horses and fire. So look at how that tremendous accomplishment there. You're right.
Two of the biggest movies in the history of all time, and he directed them in the same year. All right, here are actors who couldn't stand working with each other. It's hard to believe. Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep in Kramer versus Kramer hated each other. Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn in Four Christmases. Winona Ryder and Gary Oldman in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy in Mad Max Fury Road. David Duchovny, this one surprised me. David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson in The X-Files, because they did that TV series for so long together. Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. That's a favorite of a lot of people. They loved it. Now, they did date after the movie was done, but during the movie, they couldn't stand working with each other. Whoa. All right. I'm sure there's a bigger list than that. All right, here are the five last movies. Gene Siskel, Siskel and Ebert, they were the two big movie reviewers for years and years and years. They started on PBS, and then they went into syndication with Siskel and Ebert at the movies, and they were the people that started the thumbs up, thumbs down for movies, and Gene Siskel passed away of a brain tumor. But here are the last five movies he ever reviewed with Roger Ebert on their show. It was in 1999. Wow, that long ago. At First Sight with Val Kilmer. You know that movie?
I do not. I'd have to look it up, yeah, to say the truth.
Another Day in Paradise with Melanie Griffith. I don't remember that movie either. And we're not talking a long time ago here. The High-Low Country with Woody Harrelson. These are all big actors. I never heard of that movie either. The Theory of Flight with Helena Bonham Carter. I don't think I ever heard of that one either. Playing by Heart with Angelina Jolie and Ryan Phillippe. I never heard of that either. By the way, Siskel gave them all thumbs up with the exception of Playing by Heart with Angelina Jolie and Ryan Phillippe. Wow. Now, he used to do something. Him and Ebert did Dog of the Week, where they take a movie which was thrown in the theaters. It was horrible. But you don't see that anymore. They don't throw horrible movies like Dracula versus Jesse James. I mean, they don't, and that was a real movie, by the way. They don't do that anymore because they used to release them then to video. It was cheaper, and then video kind of went by the wayside. So they don't make them anymore, these cheap little movies. But they used to do a Dog of the Week. Well, all right, what's coming out in what do we have to look forward to in the next few weeks? Do you have a list there or anything? I know I surprised you with that. Any big titles? I know I...
Oh, sure. There's a bunch of titles coming out. Next week, we've got Wolfman coming out from Universal Pictures. It will be a fun kind of action thriller horror movie. And then on January 24th, there's this really neat movie with Mark Wahlberg. It's actually directed by Mel Gibson. It's called Flight Risk. And basically, there's a transport of a prisoner in a small plane. And it turns out that the mob has wants to kind of silence this person that's going to do some testimony. And they actually set up one of their own people to be the pilot, and that is Mark Wahlberg.
I like that.
It all takes place in this small plane. It's directed by Mel Gibson. It is really a neat film to take a look at. That comes out in 2 weeks. So Flight Risk is going to be a really neat film that I think people should think about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, say what you want about I know some people, Mel Gibson's not their cup of tea, but he always does a great job directing movies and tends to pick great scripts. And Mark Wahlberg, watch the trailer for this one. He is frightening, and you can just see he plays this role tremendously when you watch the trailer.
Now, Wolfman was supposed to have their big premiere in Hollywood. They canceled it because of the fires. But I heard that's getting rave reviews already. Wolfman, Flight Risk. I like the sound. You know why those movies are good? Because flying is scary enough. Then you put a nut on the plane with you, and it's even scarier. I've got news for you. Real life, they're putting nuts on the planes now. I see what's going on in some of these videos, so it's not that far from the truth. Brett Hoffman from Marcus Theaters, I love talking to you. Next Friday, we'll do it again, 7:35, right?
Yeah, that's right, and we'll see everyone at the movies. Have a great one.
Hold on, don't hang up. You hang up yet?
Nope.
Okay, hang on. Don't hang up yet. 8 o'clock on the noggin at WRJN. Let's check news, see what's going on.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. More lives shattered in the Southern California wildfires.
Not just me, it's my whole neighborhood is gone. I don't know how we're going to come back from this. I don't even know where to start.
Juan Perez home in Altadena, among the 10,000 buildings that have burned to the ground so far. The number of lives lost is going up as well. Correspondent Danya Backus is in Pacific Palisades.
The death toll is continuing to rise. We are at 10, but officials say they are expecting